Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
So what happened with the whole mayhem thing and the gas mask? Was it just because he had to get out on time? You had no time for that?
Well, okay. You pulled it out of me.
I had to. I had to.
But here's the deal. The thing was, is that initially, he had a bag on his head.
Yeah.
A bag.
A garbage bag or something. Right?
On his head. It was a brown paper bag on his head. The eye, one eye in there. And I'm like, you know what? It's all right, but you need to adjust it or take it off. And he said, I'm not doing either one.
Oh.
That was not right. Yes. So I said, you know what? Yes, you are. You're doing either what I ask or what's right. You got a choice. He said something, so I snatched the bag off his head, and he had the damn gas mask on. I'm looking at him, and I'm like, what the hell are you doing? First of all, I want to know, how the hell did you get that bag over that mask? Yeah. So at that point, you know what? It was new to me. I didn't know exactly how they were going to react. So I said, they need to see your face now. You don't. So we had a tete-a-tete about that. And I think I let him go till he got to the curtain and the cameras went on and I snatched that mask.
Yes, Bert, you're the man, man.
And he looked at me, but you know what? The cameras was on. So he went, but when it was over, he expressed it. He didn't like it. But you know what? The respect, because those are fighters. They have one way of settling things. And they don't care that you're 150 years old.
Yeah.
It's like, you know what? If you step here, you're going to step out of here at the same time. But they know, and they all knew, that I had nothing but mad respect for them. I always said to them, you know what? I can F with you, but I'm never gonna let anybody else F with you.
Yeah.
Ever. So keep that in mind. And you know what? I got nothing but mad love and mad respect. And from those who were trying to buck the system, when they got to me, they kind of slowed it down a little bit. And I just said, you know what? That shit ain't swinging this way, baby. You gotta flip that script. And they did that. And then I'd walk away and say, man, I had John Jones once. We were doing something in the MGM. And he came, and I usually give a speech to all the fighters, you know, before or after a weigh-in. I give them a speech for the night before, but I give them this kind of speech.
Yeah.
And I'm in the middle of my speech, and I can see him coming down the escalator late. He walks in the room and walks around the back of the room, and I stop. I said, no, hold on a second. You come up here, son. And he looked at me like I was just, and everybody turned around and looked at me. I said, yes, you come up here, Mr. Come in here late, disrespecting me and everybody else in this room.
Mr. Come in here late.
Yes, sir. Disrespecting me and everybody in this room. I said, you know what, son? I said, your name ain't big as mine. That's the first and last time I said that to somebody. I said, so you can't do that. And never, ever can you disrespect anybody sitting in this room when you got to go through the bushes with them. I'm a Vietnam vet, man. I was in the Marine Corps, and I learned in the Marine Corps, everybody had to crease their slacks, put their hood on the same way. And I said, that's what you got to do.
Why is the sky blue, Bert?
Because it's supposed to be.
All right, let me switch gears here real fast. So Bert.
But it's
well, Bert,
a love.
It's actually an anniversary now that you bring up Anderson Silva. 16 years since he began his reign as the champion, since he started really rolling.
And guess who was there?
You, my man. You, my man. Yes, so I got a question. You brought up Joe Frazier. You left out a couple names, though. You got to meet Obama?
I got to meet Obama on accident. I'm in a show in Pittsburgh. So we're doing some things, and one guy was in the workout room, and he said to me, well, the treadmill's not working, and this is not working. And I said to him, they're working because I checked that before you got here. But he said, no, it's not. So I get up, and I said, you know what? You wait here. I'm going to go check that. So I went over to check, and there was some security guards standing out there. And luckily, the hotel manager was there. So I said, you know what? I need to go in there and check the treadmill because this guy's telling me something's up. He went over. He talked to the guys, security guys, said, come on. They walked me in the room. Room's empty. Two other guys in there. Nowhere in my head, because I've seen security and I'm used to security. So I wasn't like wondering why security was there. But as I'm walking through, I hear one of the bicycles pedaling. I walk around the corner, and who's on the bike but Mr. Obama?
No.
And I wanted to say, oh, shit. But you can't say that to the President of the United States.
I got a question now. How is he doing on the bike? I mean,
you know what? He was sitting back with the newspaper, and he was reading. And I looked at him, and I said, what's up? He said, I'm fine. How are you, sir? I said, I'm fine. I turned around and walked out. I walked out of the room, and in my head, I said, I don't believe I just said, what's up to the President of the United States? I called my mom. And I said to my mom, I said, guess who I just met? She said, who? I said, Obama. She said, you get his picture? I said, no, Ma. I was not going to go to the president and ask for a picture. But that was, you know, I've met him, and that was a chance meeting. I was surprised the security let me in there, Secret Service, but they let me in because I was with the hotel manager, and he vouched for me. But to go in and to see him sitting there, boom. You know, same thing, I met Mandela like that. And
You're stealing all my questions here, Bert. I was about to ask you, is it a Mandela effect that you met Nelson Mandela?
That was awesome. It was, he was at the United Nations.
He was at the YMCA in the swimming pool or something you were about to say.
No. What happened was, when Nelson Mandela got out of prison, he said that the two things he wanted to do, well, a couple of the things, was to meet Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. Because he was an avid boxing fan. So they called our office and said that Mandela was going to be at the United Nations, and they wanted Joe for a quick shout out. So we got in the car, we drove on up there. We got to United Nations, they took us down in the basement. But I'm used to going into the basement underground with Joe Frazier and Muhammad Ali. I walked in, turned around and walked in this room, and who's standing there but Mandela? I'm looking at him and I'm, you know, like he was glowing. and luckily, I said to Joe, I said, let's take this, the WC belt, the belt that he won March 8th, 1971 from Muhammad
Ali.
What
memory you got, Bert. Wow.
Hey, I lived it. It was
Bert's an elephant, man. I'm telling you. Bert's an elephant. He don't forget nothing.
And here's Steve for the audio listeners. Steve, welcome.
My man. So we
Friday
took that
night lights, man. When you got kids playing football, sometimes things go a little bit over. It happens.
Trust me.
Steve, he's telling us.
They were killing it, man. They beat the dumb boys 40-20, man. It was a whooping.
Oh, wow.
They're just running them ball down in poor kids' throats. I felt bad.
He's telling us how we met Nelson Mandela and Obama right now.
Hey, man.
You know what? That was
got some legends in his pocket, man.
But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. Out of all of that, the biggest surprise for me, and my wife is sitting here so I can say that, I met Sade.
Oh,
I got a private one-on-one in our dressing room because I was going to put John Jones and those guys in that dressing room.
That was one of my mom's favorites right there too, Chardonnay. That was one of my mom, dude. That used to be in the car for my entire childhood.
you're like my son and daughter. All they listened to was James Brown and the Isley Brothers and Barry White. That's all they heard.
That's because you ingrained it into them, Bert.
Now, Bert, I heard you're a wedding crasher as well.
Okay, damn. Who was that?
For Joe Lozon. Crashed Joe Lozon's wedding.
Well, I kind of crashed, but I also got invited. But you know what? They asked me to dance.
They asked.
And I did, you know, but it was memorable, man. It was Joe Lozon was definitely, and he was one of, you know what I called them? All of those guys are my kids. Joe Lozon, I see Max Holloway, George St. Pierre. I had them when they started. Matt Sarah, Frankie Edgar. You know, when they were kids, when their eyes were big and bugged because they were there in the UFC. And honestly, when I started with the UFC, I had no idea. I knew what Bruce Lee and Bruce Leroy. That's as much as I knew. I knew nothing else about MMA because I came from boxing. But when I did my first MMA in 1999, I think. My first UFC was UFC 30.
Wow.
And that was either 2000, 2001.
Wow.
But what I was amazed was that I used to see in boxing, you got in the ring and you kicked somebody's ass, and then you kicked him, and then you talked about his mama and his family, and there was no real love. When they were serious. But when I got to MMA, I saw how guys did that, and they bowed and respected each other, and it was, I wasn't used to that. But to see it, man, it was definitely awesome for me to see it. And now looking back on that, 22 years ago, my goodness, to be able to say 22 years ago, to see now where it's come. And now I'm with Bellator.
Yep.
And to see the progression of the athletes, I saw them when they were fighting like this, when they were, you know, and I saw this go to this, where they were smooth and throwing jet. I mean, where it, the technical skill level progressed with the sport. And that was awesome to see.
I really did not enjoy my time. Like, it sucks.
I think it's one of the good things. Like, when you get older as a fighter, like that, those anxieties, those things kind of simmer away. And it's just about working your game plan.
Absolutely, absolutely. You know, and now it's like you said, it's almost like a mental checklist. I just go over and it's like, I know exactly what to do. You know, I'm just going to dominate this fight at whatever range, whether it be on the outside or on the inside. You know, I'm just going to dominate the fight. I know exactly how to do this. I've been fighting for 16 years, so.
But Joey, it seems like one of the biggest battles, it seems to be the trolling, right? It seems to be some of the trolling, and I got something set up for you here. I got something set up, all right? Now, Joey, some trolls are saying that you, and fear, when you're scared, you actually scream like a little girl. And they shared this photo with me of, what is this, Joey? I mean, come on. What is going on here?
Oh, my God. We're having a lot of fun, man.
That's funny.
Oh,
him and wifey were kicking in on their vacation, and man, why the trolls got to mess with Joey, yo?
I know, that's awesome, that's hilarious.
I mean,
no, man, you want to know something funny? Is like
you had to pay for these photos. That's the funny part. You had to pay for these photos.
I used to be deathly afraid of roller coasters.
What was this
one? Roller coasters at all?
Who brought that? Who made you not afraid?
Carowinds in North Carolina.
Okay, the Loch Ness, I think it's called. Correct.
Oh no, but my bad.
Wait, did you say Bushkills?
Bush Gardens was the
Bush
other
Gardens,
one.
Bush Gardens, yes, I went there, and it is the Loch Ness.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sherry's been on it too.
I went on the Big Bear Wolf and all of that shit.
Oh, those are good, man.
Yeah, Joey, I don't like roller coasters either at all.
Joey, I love the shirt you're wearing. And I love the face that you made here. Yeah. Tell me what happened when you guys got off that roller coaster and you see the screens and you're looking for your face and then you see yourself and you're like, oh God, man, I gotta buy this one.
I'm that guy that I didn't buy it. I just pulled out my phone and snapped a photo of the screen. Work at the front desk and said, sir, you can't take pictures.
Like, I can do what I want.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah, step to me, bro. I go bare knuck.
Do what I want. Thank you.
But the fact that your face here, if I was a troll, I would say, Joey, did you shit your pants on this ride? Look at your face right there.
Look at that face. That face was I was having.
He's having it. The other one, I think that one scared him a little bit.
No. I'll tell you why. The other one, I had a goal that I was not going to scream on any roller coaster when I went to Busch Gardens.
You know what's funny? Because you look like you have this super serious look, like you're concentrating on something, and I couldn't figure out what it was because you're like, this is not going to take me. I'm going to take this ride.
And after every roller coaster, I get off and look at and slap five with the family. I'd be like, no screaming, no emotions, no screaming, no emotions.
Oh my goodness.
Joey,
I heard a rumor that, you know, you were screaming as loud as 16,000 fans on that ride.
On the other one, the one in North Carolina, we were for sure. I was ripping it up. I try my best to not make a monster out of my opponents. I focus on making a monster out of my, you know, and that goes across the board as far as like, yeah, what he's done in the game, how long he's been in the game. Well, fuck, I'm the same. I've been in the game just as long. You know, so at the end of the day, like, it's going to be a great fight. It's going to be like, yeah, like I said, just two grown-ass men getting in a fist fight. It's going to be fantastic.
Now, have you guys seen each other before? Like, going into this fight, I know you guys are probably so pissed at me right now, Houston and Joey. You have to beat me up.
My face was just like,
yeah,
why?
You guys,
strangers, they've seen each other. They've been on the circuit before.
You guys can beat me up for this. Joey, it's Joey's last question.
Hold up. What did I walk in on?
Hold up, don't
put my name in anything and I don't know what the hell is going on, man.
Houston, okay? It's Evil Eddie over here.
I know who it is, but hold on, you mentioned my name and say don't beat you up, well, that's assault, brother.
all right.
Get him.
I kind of put myself in the corner here. This should
yes,
not
you did.
Happen. I did.
Now, hold on. Now I'm going to stop you. Is this is your statement going to get your ass whooped?
No,
it won't.
No,
my question to Joby was, and Steve's question and Carrie's question, you two are both legends. And I want to throw this to Joby before he leaves here and we get to you, Houston. What's up,
Joe?
How you doing, brother?
I'm good, man.
I'm so sorry, guys. I'm so sorry.
Why are you apologizing,
brother?
I think this is
you
the
guys,
coolest moment I've
we're,
seen.
We're professionals. We're pros, man.
They've been on an interview stand. We were at big press conference next to their opponents. So there ain't nothing different, guys. Come on.
Our question.
You gotta
was,
get it out, Eddie.
Two legends stepping in there. What do you think would be the outcome if you two met beforehand and talked like this? Does this change anything? Like, you guys are being nice now. What's the difference? Because you guys are both legends. You've met your opponents in the past. But what changes
It's really difficult.
Go ahead. You want to answer that first? I know you have to go.
No.
Okay.
All right. So for me, it changes absolutely nothing. You know, at the end of the day, like Houston and I have been doing this so long that we both have that mental switch, and we both come from a generation where you don't talk shit on the internet. You don't have to. Why? Because we're gonna stand up. We're gonna fist fight. You don't have to fucking talk shit about each other's mamas or anything dumb shit. You know? Like, hey, guess what? November 18th. We're gonna punch each other in the face. You know, it's all gonna. Yeah, yeah.
We're gonna punch each other in the face and then probably have a beer afterwards.
I love it.
Exactly.
You know, but don't get it twisted, because you know we're gonna go out there and actually fight. But you know what? There's nothing personal between it. You know, not like how Khabib was with Conor. There's nothing like that.
No one's gonna jump out the cage.
You know, it's like you're both going in there to perform and to perform your best. It's going to be an amazing fight. So, I get
it. I think it's something that comes like with also like what I was talking about, like when you get to a certain point in your career and your profession and you get to a certain age, like some of that extra outside noise, it just falls right off. It's like, all right, whatever, you're saying whatever. I'll see you come Saturday.
I don't think it's just that. I think, you know, shit, we're grown men. But you know, but see, and on top of that, we're not pussies. Let's just be real about it. Well, you know, we know we're grown men. We know how to and again, I don't know if I should have said that, but I'm just being straight to the point. You know, we know what it is, and you know, it's this is what we chose to do, and this is our profession. So, you know, there's nothing personal. No, there's nothing personal. Unless you kick my son in the face or did something crazy to my mom or.
The one big KFC said fire and say he's going to do something to the guy's dog. I was like, oh man, here we go.
That was the worst thing I've ever heard in my life. I'm like, what a weird comment to make. Well, like, bro, somebody make sure his dog's okay.
That's funny.
I gotta add this in really quick, just while you guys are here.
Let Joey go. Yeah.
Houston, you've been in there against legends. You know, a lot of people remember you from Kimbo Slice. Joey, a lot of people remember you from Stipe, Pat Barry, Rampage. Have you guys ever been in a situation with an opponent where it was heated beforehand?
I don't remember anything like that. To where someone was barking at me all crazy. I don't think so.
You told me, Houston, a couple of years ago on my podcast that Kimbo was actually a really nice guy, a stand up guy when you met him.
He's the sweetest guy ever. He was probably one of the meanest looking ones too.
Mm-hmm. a lot of these guys who have confidence in themselves and their ability. And they surround themselves with good people. Guess what? You don't have to do all that barking and stuff. You know, and I think there's nothing wrong with it, because it helps you promotionally, you know, just like a Floyd Mayweather or a Conor McGregor. But, you know, but a lot of times, you know, you don't have to do all that. Or, you know, you do like Bud Crawford. And I believe, you know, I'm going to quote him. He said he let his hands do the talking. Yeah. But sometime in this day and age with social media, you know, they can either hurt you or help you, because you know you focus on your ability, but at the same time you got to be able to bark and got to be able to talk and do all that stuff. You know, we gonna go out there and just perform. You know, we're all trying to get up against each other, all that crap. You know, that's for amateurs.
Joey, yeah. Joey, your thoughts?
Exactly, man. He said put it perfectly, like. You know, like, I think it might be a generational thing. I always say like, I had pages of friends back when I had a real phone book. I don't fucking need my, you know, like, so this whole social media thing is like, whatever,
it
gives, like, I do it.
Sense of what reality is, it does, man.
Well,
I don't think it's generational. I think it's, again, it's this day and age where everyone's trying to get likes, and everyone's trying to get, you know, everyone's trying to get the attention off the internet. And I think that's the only way a lot of people can get can get that attention by using the internet and social media and getting that what is that reassurance from the audience. Maybe that's the case. I don't think it's generational. I think nothing the generations haven't changed. It's just the technology.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's almost made where people can't even conversate. Like, you know, I'm 43, I'm single, I go out all the time. Guys mm-hmm. cannot talk to women whatsoever. It's like if there is not a swipe, whatever feature, they can't have an actual conversation with you. And it's really sad. I think that the dating apps and the digital era, like you said, has done that. And there are people that literally live their life off of like their value is their likes and follows. And that's sad too.
Now, whose fault is that? Is that the parents' fault or is it the kids' fault?
Well, the parents' fault for sure. I would definitely go with that, letting them, first off, too young using social media. But as adults, the ones that fell into it, that's where I get really sad for them because I'm like, your life shouldn't be your social media. I have like no following and I love every single one of them. And that's because I've gotten banned and kicked off. But I love all my followers, all 200 of them. They're the best people ever. And I'm totally okay with it. Losing as much as I did actually humbled the fuck out of me. Because I'm like, you know what? People still know why. I don't care. I don't need the numbers. Those
numbers at the end of the day, they're fake people for the most part. Most of them don't even actually engage with what you. They just hit a like or share just to kind of get
they don't even like to hit a like. People would rather just look at your shit and keep it moving and not That's even cool. like it or give you a credit or anything. So people are funny like that. But keep in mind, guys, your trolls are your biggest fans.
Yeah.
Your haters are literally legitimately just looking at your stuff all day long, hoping you're going to like slip up a little bit or fuck up and say something stupid.
I always seem to congratulate people who approach me negatively. So hey, thank you. I appreciate the you calling me a dickhead. It does look like I have a dickhead.
Houston. Yes. Now, Joey, yes. Joey. Before we let you go, Joey, I gotta say I'm sweating through my sweatshirt. I am nervous that you guys are gonna fight right here. I cannot wait.
Wait, why are they gonna do that? They still got 2 more weeks before they get to the fight.
I know. BKFC 33 guys live on fight. Joey Beltran, Houston Alexander, Omaha, Nebraska. Going down in just a couple
of years. You know, let me say on record, Larry, I had to say this on record, Joe. I always thought you had one of the best nicknames in MMA. Hey, first of all, it's weird because one of my favorite movies is The Terminator. One of my favorite movies of all time is The Terminator. And it's crazy because I think this is the first time we've talked since some years ago. But Terminator, and then hold on for a second. This guy is calling himself the Mexinator. Man, come on, man. That's that. Where did you get that nickname from? Did you get it from the movie?
No, man.
Somebody gave it to you, huh?
Yeah, my buddy, he had a funny name, Eddie Sanchez. He was a UFC veteran back in the day, fought Krokop and shit. He looked at me when we were coming up with ideas. Tossing across a couple of ideas of my second or third fight, he's like, "You know what? You're the Mexicutioner." And I was like, "I like it," and that's fucking swear to God, that's
so,
how.
So it's not, and so it's not Mexinator. It's a Mexicutioner.
Yeah, Mexicutioner.
Okay. I'm listening. Now, see, now I'm all messed up. See, that's when I'll be hitting it with a name. Mexicutioner.
Because Houston has a Terminator tattoo. We'll get to that in just a second. Joey, I want to thank you so much for tolerating my BS and doing this. I know you guys are probably so pissed at me. I'm going to hide for a month or two.
The Mexican.
You know, human fighting forever is one part of it. And two, you're literally just concentrating on one part. The hands are going to be thrown at you. You're not going to have elbows. You're not going to be taken down.
Well, Carrie's been sweeping everybody at Matt Sarah's gym lately. So she's a little confident. She
the leg sweep or just the takedown?
She choked out Matt Sarah's wife today.
I told you that. It was off camera. I didn't want to say that.
Yeah, good. Hey, good. No, good. Hey, good for you.
Yeah. And actually, actually, Caitlin Chukagian like had commented how strong I am, and I'm very tiny. I'm just very wiry. And Matt was like, dude, you should be choking people out with rear naked. I'm like, I do, but and my favorite is triangles. Top mounted, back, anywhere.
And speed kills.
Yep. Oh, I have to be fast because I'm so tiny, and most of my opponents are bigger than me, and the girls that I train with are. So I
that,
have
well,
to
then you can get around them.
Be super you, fast.
You can get around them a little faster than someone that's probably bigger.
Oh yeah, by the time I like slip my knee behind their back and have them in a rear naked choke, the one girl today was like, "What the fuck?" I'm like, "I'm sorry." I just practiced that 2 days ago. It's with black belts, so that's why I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry."
Hey, done now. Now you better watch out. You keep doing that, people are gonna start getting jealous, and they're gonna start taking cheap shots at you. You better watch out.
Yeah, well, I've had that happen.
Houston, have you been the victim of that? Where like new people come into the gym and they kind of spot you and they're like, oh man, I know we at the YMCA, but let's go, Houston.
No. Because you know, there's one thing from day one I've gotten from Curly Alexander, which is my uncle, who's one of my coaches. When you get, I don't care where you're at, when you step into the gym, you know you got to let everybody know who the alpha is. Mm. So, you know, regardless of whether I'm in Miami, Florida, Miami, Houston, California, Canada. You have to, I don't care who gym it is, you got to let everyone know who the alpha is.
So are you Mufasa or are you Scar in the MMA world? Are you Scar or Mufasa?
Man, that's a tough one. That's a good question.
Do you have the heart?
Oh man, I got to be Scar.
I love that.
All right.
Yes.
I'm sorry. You know why? Do you know why? Because again, Scarding, he didn't give a shit.
Also, you have the Joker tattoo, which kind of goes with this whole Scar theme.
I love it.
Why did you get the Joker tattoo? I feel like that.
Because every once in a while, I think I'm funny, but I know I can turn it on. Just like Joey said, we can turn it on at the top of a hat. So, you know, that's
what happened
with the Joker. And Joker thought he was funny. But at the same time, it's very dangerous. So that's what I feel I am. Mm.
So do you feel like money is nothing? It really comes down to the whole point that you're trying to make in your career. You're not going after who's going to pay you the most. You're trying to make yourself into even more of a legend, which I've seen you do, Houston. I mean, I've seen you on like shows where they're injecting you with adrenaline and stuff like that. I've seen you on Key and Peele. Those are two different opposites. You have been going in there and you've been making a name for yourself. It doesn't seem like you care about politics or money. It seems like you care about making a point and being a real leader. Now, that's something that Scar didn't do.
Now, see, I don't mean to cut you off, but I'll take that L. I don't want to, you know, the legend thing, everyone throws that around all the time. I don't, you know, being a legend is, you know, Kobe is a legend.
You're a legend in this sport, Houston. You're Houston Alexander.
I'm personally just enjoying what I'm doing, and you know, and from day one, I've enjoyed what I've been doing. And ever since I was a kid on the playground of East St. Louis, when you know these kids try to take my candy bar. From the first fight I had at 8 years old. I'm still looking for those guys. I'm still looking for those guys. Okay.
I'm still looking for those guys. You're looking for it. He's still looking for the guy that took his.
I'm still looking for those guys. Right. And I remember the school, Canada School in East St. Louis, Illinois. These guys tried to take my candy bar on the playground.
Now, Houston, Kerry, Steve, we got to dive into this because picture I just showed, we need
leader.
Now, Houston, if I'm a troll, I'm going to say Houston's going around beating guys a quarter of his age because there's a photo of you in a high school about to pile drive this kid. Now, if I'm a troll saying that, I mean, can you explain this photo, bro?
Explain this photo. I went to go talk to my old high school, Omaha North High, and the head coach of the team asked me to come and talk to his team right before the playoff run. I did this a couple of years ago when I went to Nebraska. I always pick out the biggest guy, you know, in the room.
And well, why not? There was a guy sitting right here in the green jacket that looked like he was about 33. A lot of these kids look a lot older than what I remember in high school.
Hey, man. Hey, this kid was 6'9" and close to almost 300 pounds. And I said, I had to prove to the kids that, you know, size, you know, size doesn't matter. It's you know, it's the heart. It's the knowledge that you have. And again, more so the heart. And so for 5 minutes, I took this kid and I walked for each side of the room with this guy on my shoulder.
Teaching a lesson.
Just having a conversation with this kid on my shoulder. Just telling him, hey, size doesn't matter. And this guy's laughing because I told him I was gonna fart. There you go. So
you have like lethal.
If you were trolling me, then I'll be farting on you.
Oh, that's so good. This poor kid. I mean, look at him. He actually does look about 7 feet tall. Actually, now that I look at him,
he's not here. He was 6'9". He's a big kid.
Look at how big his pants are.
You took his lunch money or what?
No, sir, I did not. Hey, he was a big kid. If you go back and look at those photographs and you see us standing next to each other, you know, his balls were on my shoulders.
Look at how long his pant leg is. And look at how wide that you can see. He's a big, like,
that's funny. But yeah, they end up going almost to the semifinals after that talk. And they won a couple of games after that, but they end up losing by a touchdown to get to the state finals. So my old school, shouts out to the Omaha Vikings.
Now Houston, I got another kind of segment here. What are you worth? Because I researched you and I wanted to know your net worth. Here's what I found, Houston.
Okay.
You are worth $400,000.
$400,000.
Net worth. Celebrity net worth. Can you confirm or can you say like where they got?
Hold on for a second. Don't you see what's happening to the rappers out there? How they're getting targeted? I'll never answer that.
Let me tell you the things that I've been seeing. You're a smart man. It comes
richest athletes in MMA. You're right there.
And what's funny is this is that you know I drive a 2013 Trailblazer, which is probably one of the best things I ever had. But I have a few cars, but I drive a 2013 Trailblazer.
That's good.
Sometimes you have vehicles for what you need. It's not always about being flashy. Like I got the truck because I need to move things around. I need to have this. I need to have my family with me. Things like that.
No, actually, I use my Trailblazer. And again, I love this thing. You know, I love my truck.
I know what you mean. I love them things.
I use my Trailblazer to DJ with.
I'm gonna be the craziest person in the room and just say, like, you know, when all hell breaks loose and the computers and the cars stop working, you know, and they decide to just turn them off, your car will be running. Congratulations.
We're all gonna be sitting there
like a bunch of fools, and you'll be driving around like, how's your computer run, car, guys?
And plus, no one's gonna steal a 2013 Trailblazer.
You're awesome. That's so smart.
No one's gonna steal.
All right, so you're a DJ. So what are your top three songs that you like to play DJing?
Hmm. my top three songs that I when I'm DJing anywhere at all. Oh man, Michael Jackson is always no matter what era, no matter what crowd.
What is the mic you prefer?
Which one do I prefer?
Yeah, like what are you? Are you a pretty young thing guy? Are you a bad guy?
There got to be a rock with you. You know, come on, you got to go early Michael before he started really messing up his nose.
Oh, man. Like,
so you can play Michael Jackson.
You're not going to play Thriller around October?
You can play anything.
Things like that makes you Thriller bad.
You can play anything Michael Jackson in any era, in any age group, at any time, and you'll never fail with Michael Jackson.
You know what my favorite is, Houston? ABC, right, the ABC song.
Again, before the nose job.
Yeah, when he's a little boy. That's what I favor. And you know what my favorite movie is? I got the rat on my shoulder for people listening to the audio. Willard. He actually made the whole soundtrack for Willard. I cry to the song every time one of my rats die. It's not even funny. I play the Willard song every time one of my rats dies, and I have a cemetery.
Hold on. Are you sure? What's the name of that movie again?
Willard. Michael Jackson. Yeah.
Are you talking about Ben?
Ben! Houston! Oh, the DJ. Ben, the movie. Yeah.
Guys. Hold on for a second.
He just pulled his thing.
He's getting the movie.
Now, bro. You just said your favorite song was about a rat and named Willard.
I'm gonna
have to issue a flag on the play.
You put up your feet, so I was gonna tell the little story about that. So there's this Instagram called like UFC.feet or something ridiculous. And it had taken like pictures of me, Tisha, Mallory Martin, like other teammates of mine. And we're all standing in pictures and they had taken our feet, cropped them out of pictures and were selling them to people on Instagram, like publicly. And I was like, excuse me? Like, not only are you selling my pictures, but you're making money off of my feet. And so I was like,
my permission.
Yeah, I was like, screw it. I'm going to do it.
I can't even bet on fights when you guys are making money off my feet.
Right.
Well, not only that, I saw that you went out on a little hike with your boyfriend and pushed them down a hill, kind of seemed.
No, more like he scooted down it. It was a lot steeper than it looks on the video. We did go on a hike and it was like cliffs, and I'm used to running down bluffs and stuff from being back home on the farm. He's not so much, and we're both scared of heights, so it was funny.
But it's got to be mixed emotions, right? If you're in the corner, right? Or even if you're in a fight, like you have been against Macy Barber, where you think you're winning a fight. I mean, I don't know if you thought you were or not, but a lot of us thought you won that fight. And, you know, you probably feel really good going in to get your hand raised. But then, like we saw this weekend with the judges, with Suga, a lot of people didn't agree with the judging. So what is it like when you experience something like that? It's gotta be very mixed. You think you did very well, but yet you lost. So where does
it makes it harder than the real losses. I know that sounds odd, but it's almost more of a letdown. It's like you did put in your best, you tried your best, you had all this, you were about to be on your highest high, you know, cheering for yourself, and then you're up here, and then all of a sudden it's, and you're like, oh my goodness, like what just happened?
And it punches you right in the gut.
Yep, exactly. It feels like you're gonna have, you know, talk about even from a money perspective, you're thinking of all these plans in your head as all those moments run through, and okay, I'm gonna get this much money, I'm gonna put it towards this, and then last second it all just kind of gets ripped away. And you know, everybody says don't let it go to the judges. I get so angry when I hear those comments, because we're the best in the world. We're fighting at the highest level. Like, we can't always take it and finish these girls. We're all at a fairly equal level. That's why we're in the UFC. Like, that's why we're meant to put on shows. If we were just go in there and finish them in a minute, what would be the point of the matchmaking? Those obviously aren't great fights to begin with if it's that easy of a fight. So the whole don't take it to the judges, we try. Believe me, we're trying to not take it to the judges. It's not like we're sitting there going, you know, let's let this last another 15 minutes. I really think I want the judges to see this one out. Like, It's the silliest thing to me.
Now, Steve, I don't mean to cut you off, but going back on my question, now, you've been in also situations where you've won fights, but now you have to go back towards a rematch. And I'm sure there's rematches you want, like against Macy Barber, but you have this upcoming fight, which is a rematch that you've also won in the past. Where is your head at here, opposed to, you know, looking at other people that have had rematches that usually win and overlook their opponent sometimes? Mm-hmm. You know, it could be kind of crazy, but you're a sociology, psychology major. Where's your head at? And are you aware of what goes into a rematch like in your head?
Absolutely. I try to look at it from her perspective and my own perspective, right? And kind of remove myself from the situation. And in her head, she obviously thinks it was a fluke. She thinks that she's improved more than me over time, that my striking wasn't that good, which it wasn't. I'll be honest about that. Way back when we fought, you know, it's been 3 years now since we fought. I have went to Virginia, learned Muay Thai way more than I ever knew before. Now I'm here in Colorado doing the highest level training I could ever do. I'm a totally different fighter than I was. And I think my fights in the UFC have shown that. And if she thinks I'm going to be the same person that came into that cage with her in 2019, she's sorely mistaken. But I'm not walking into this fight with the whole, I already beat her, not a big deal. I'm walking into it with, I've improved this much. I'm very confident in myself, but I also take every fight just as seriously as the last and the next. Like, I figure every fight's a title shot for me, because at the end of the day, that's where I want to get to. And against her, it's no different. I'm not just training for Shanna. I'm training for Valentina. I'm training for Molly McCann, hopefully next. I'm training for all these girls in the lineup that I want to fight in the future, not just Shanna. But I will say I'm surprised she took it. I am impressed she took it, and I'm glad that she decided to be my opponent. I've been looking for a fight forever. I had a lot of people that just didn't want to fight, and I'm in this weird spot in the rankings where I'm not ranked, yet I've beat a couple of the ranked girls, and nobody really wants to fight me. So,
Steve, I don't mean to
steal it. The hardest thing sometimes is getting past that top 10 thing, because you've beaten people in there. It's like they don't want to risk putting it in you because they don't want to lose their spot, and you're not quite there, so they don't.
Yeah, I'd say it's like
juice to get them going to.
Yeah, I'd say once I get to the top 15, I think it'll be a lot easier to find, because all those ranked girls will be interested in fighting me. But now the whole excuse is, well, she's not ranked, or she's not ranked, but she's as good as the ranked girls, so I don't want to fight her if I'm not ranked. So, you know, it goes both ways. I hope that I'm able to get the Molly McCann fight after this. She's going to fight Erin Blanchfield, which Erin beat me, and I think she's just going to maul Molly. Like, I think she'll finish her.
I love that. And speaking of it, how do you feel about this one with Shanna Young? Obviously, you said you're surprised about it, but how do you, you know, if you could sit there and play out a perfect picture in your mind, how do you envision this fight playing out for you?
I see it being a TKO in the first minute or 2 minutes. I've been working on my striking so much. I feel like if I need to take it to the ground, there's no doubt that I can. But I plan on keeping it standing and just showing her a little bit of what I've learned here at this gym, at other gyms, and kind of show her my improvements over time, and also be able to show the whole audience, you know, how much I'm improving, but also that I am multi-talented. It's not just grappling. It's not just striking. I've got all of it, and I come in with power and to put on a show in front of the whole division.
I like that answer a lot, because in your first fight, you won via rear naked choke, right? And this time you're saying you want to finish her via TKO. So is that like a whole thing? Like, you don't want to bring it to the ground. You want to actually strike. And a lot of fans like that. So I think this is going to give a little more energy towards it and motivation for you as well. Am I right?
Yeah. And it's not that I won't take it down. Maybe I will, but I'm hoping that just in a couple minutes, I'm using a feeler out and get to where I could get a takedown, that I'm going to catch her with something. And I feel like it's definitely a possibility. I'm looking at this card and I'm thinking there's also a strong possibility I can get opponents if I play my cards right. So I'm going to do the best I can to make